Off the ball on News Talk 106 to 108.
And we shall wonder if one day our game is played on the other planets. We will have interplanetary competition.
Your job now is to stand by our new manager.
I always said if I was Aladicio, they'd probably say I was more of a tactical genius.
If my granny had balls, he'd be my granddad.
Big Sam Aladicio, that's right. Yeah.
The Republic of Ireland a step closer to the World Cup after a 1-0 victory over Wales. James McLean, the hero in Cardiff, his goal heard around the world.
So Hendrick, who's the man? He's got Paul Margarita! Marca Ireland in the sua primeira oportunidade! James McLean!
What on the board, man? He's not on the board. Rastriel, a pasta, Marca Pritch, and you had the goal! At the goal!
He's kept it in play. And he's got the cross in, and a chance here, McLean! He's done it again!
Hendrick recuperează mingea, este în suprafață regulamentară, vine și centrarea pe scurt, minge lăsată, ocazie mare, gol! James McLean, Irlanda!
The keeper on the pitch, I think he has done, he's getting to the end line here, Jeff Hendrick gets the ball across, Arthur steps over, breaks to McLean! In the 57th minute! Come on! What a finish!
Hendrick now for Republic of Ireland. Arthur leaves it. McLean! James McLean has been the star of this campaign, and he might just have hit the most crucial blow of the whole journey.
Unbelievable. Even nice stand here, hearing the fans out there, knowing four boys singing away, you know. There's no better feeling. It's good. Class.
It's not bad, is it? Shout out to our off the ball colleague Darren Cleary for putting that together. There's great footage of James McLean in the car home.
James McLaney, I think they said James McLaney. I think I heard once in there as well.
That was you saying getting what a finish.
I liked you a bit.
So yeah. There's good footage of him with friends, family in the car singing Irish rebel songs all the way home.
Yeah.
Up online there. So they had a nice drive, as a lot of the players seem to do. So Harry Arter scattered, Stephen Ward, who's on the way this hour. We'll hear from Stephen Ward. I spoke to him earlier. He was in the car and home to the family. Some of the lads, it seems, went back to Dublin for a big night out.
That's the rumour, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what Stephen Ward says.
Oh, did he?
So you're not outing anybody.
Oh, right. That's fair enough then, yeah.
No, what a pro you are, playing that skillfully. Oh, that's the rumour, is it? Yeah. No, Stephen Ward said that. I mean, there's no crime there.
Yeah, quite right too.
So,
quite right.
They went back to Dublin. Kind of a funny one to fly back to Dublin and going to have to go back to the UK for their clubs, but it's only Tuesday.
Yeah.
But then for the lads in the UK who just go home, it even strikes me as such an extreme to go from the stadium, the noise, the adrenaline, back to, you know, dark drive home and then into the empty house.
Yeah, I know. See, the lads' responsibility with the kids and everything as well, isn't it? That's the thing. And it's, you have that such elation when you're leaving, and then it is back to reality, isn't it? That's what it is, back to normal life.
Yeah. So we've talked about the game a good bit at this stage, and there's a few other bits and pieces to parse through. We haven't heard from Martin O'Neill. So Martin O'Neill, here he is in the press conference afterwards.
I think that we could all have realised that that's how it was going to be. We said here at the press conference yesterday, it might be just a little bit cagey early on. We would have to do without the ball as long as we had to do without the ball for the first 10 or 11 minutes of the game. Once we started to get a foothold on it and put a few passes together, players get a little more confidence, and we took it on. So, but at some stage or another, one of the two teams had to score a goal, had to win a game, and obviously a great goal by us. And then that changes the dynamics of the game. We're now holding on to something in a match that perhaps maybe with the last 15 or 20 minutes, as it was still in the leash, then we would have had to enforce the issue. We dealt with things reasonably well. I say reasonably well now from the position of having won the game. When the ball was whizzed in a few times from corner kicks, we've had to defend those. But overall, it was just a great win against a Welsh side that had done so brilliantly in the Euros. I've never doubted the character of the players. that's instilled in them. They have this, they've got their great courage. We've had to fight with that there for long periods in the game, in different matches that we've played. The courage is never in doubt, believe it or not. You know, sometimes we're, we can do better with the ball, like anything else, and that's, that, you know, that that's what trying to qualify for the World Cup is a monumental task. You have to different conditions, different matches, have to try and get a result or two somewhere along the way. You mentioned disappointment of the first half in Georgia, and although we had some great chances to win the game, Serbia fought back. I knew we'd fight back. I was obviously concerned that on Friday night we had to win that game first. We never thought about Wales throughout the time, and really, wild thoughts came into your head, obviously, on Saturday afternoon. I don't think everybody would want to play us. Do I fear teams in it? Absolutely, yeah. Every one of them. Every single one of them, yeah. But I've always feared teams. That's the best way to be.
Maybe bring out the best in you.
Yeah, yeah, and then we go out and beat them, you know. So, or so I try. I think I speak for a lot of the nations in the playoffs. I don't think anybody would want to play Italy. I don't think anybody would really want to be playing Portugal, although Portugal might beat Switzerland. And there's about six others I would rather not have. But I am delighted to be in it.
Martin O'Neill there. Delighted, a bit more forthcoming than he was towards the end of his interview with Tony O'Donoghue last night. I'm not quite sure what that was about.
But I didn't see that, I didn't see it actually. But,
well, it seemed... Martin had thought 2 minutes was plenty, and despite the happy circumstances, that was enough for him. So that one rumbles on for reasons I don't really understand. It seemed like the perfect time to speak to the Irish public and tell them thanks for all the support and have a good chat. And, you know, it just seemed to be needlessly short. But anyway, there's that. But he was more forthcoming there. So Craig Bellamy on Sky Sports, for people who weren't listening earlier, was talking about O'Neill at Celtic, and he said... You won't even see him around the place. There's times when he turns up on a Friday. There were times I couldn't tell you what formation we were playing on a Saturday. You just read the list, and basically I had to look at someone else and ask, what formation are we playing? There was no information whatsoever. But he knew his players. You knew where you stood with him. And if you played well for him, the confidence he'd give you and the way he'd make you feel, you just want to run even more for him. So it is this Clough, old school O'Neill methodology, which it doesn't strike me as the best way of doing things on paper. And the Michael O'Neill way of doing things, as we mentioned earlier on, he did an interview with Nathan a couple of weeks ago where he talked about how he'll tell the Northern Irish team who's playing early in the week, work on formation, work on pressing, work on defensive shape, get everybody on the same page, do as much work as possible, prep as possible. That works for him.
Yeah.
Clearly, O'Neill just doesn't agree with that. He's a very smart man. And again, on paper, it looks to me like an odd way of prepping the team. But who am I to argue with Brian Clough? Who am I to argue with O'Neill? He's clearly got something going on here.
Yeah, of course.
Now you've and he's done it for too long. It's not luck.
Yeah,
too many teams.
Without doubt. Yeah. He's got too much experience. He's had too much success for that to be luck.
Because the line you could say is, well, he's getting away with it.
Yeah.
But you can't over this amount of time.
No way.
So what is it about being in that kind of environment for you? Someone who, you've been a player, you've dealt with managers who have been, I'm sure, obsessed with detail, others who weren't as obsessed. And I don't know, it strikes me in a game like, say, rugby, which is so coach-led now, that the lack of attention to detail in the modern era, you'd be out the door. You'd last 2 months, the team would go to pieces.
Yeah.
And yet, as advanced as football has become, there's still a place here for the O'Neill Clough approach.
It's responsibility, isn't it? It's the responsibility of the player. He's putting his trust in the players, and that then it's like, you've got to work it out yourself. You've got to get yourself sorted. You've got to get through this yourself and see how you go about it. The last bit there, what Craig Bellamy was saying, was probably probably the most striking point. And anyone that can relate to that one, if you know the bit around where you'd run the extra bit for him.
You knew where you stood with him. If you played well for him, the confidence he'd give you and the way he'd make you feel, you just want to run even more.
Exactly.
For him.
When you have someone that makes you feel in such a way that you feel as though that you're untouchable when you're playing, that's what he has. And you speak to John Hartson, you'll speak to Neil Lennon, you'll speak to all these lads who. hard lads. These lads are hard lads. And it's not, you know, what John says on air, he will tell you even more so off air.
Right.
He would do anything for him. And I mean absolutely anything for him. So that leads you to suggest that he has something. Mm. He has something in a way that many other people can't touch upon. That's the thing, what he brings. You can't get away from that.
Which makes it difficult to analyse his contribution when the players talk about finding out the team late on, the lack of prep. It's hard to see, like,
yeah,
you know, because I saw a few of the English journalists who mightn't usually cover Ireland were over doing that game last night. Yeah. I was reading the English papers today, a few of them, and they were saying, you know, we tried in vain to get the players to talk about the great tactical ideas O'Neill had, or what the preparation was, and they seemed to even after a while realise, we're not actually getting any nuggets here. It's just, it seems fairly nondescript, and yet
it's very private, isn't it? He just doesn't want to give too much away as well. He's got that way about him, which is kind of almost like a closed shop, doesn't want to give anything away.
But even the players, they were trying to jab them for bits and couldn't seem to get anything. Usually someone will blab if something notable has happened.
Yeah, the one thing I read after the game, or there might be even on Twitter that I'd seen it, where he'd said something on the lines of, the last thing I said before I went out is, to play in a World Cup is everything. As a player, you guys playing a World Cup, that is everything. And of course, Martin O'Neill, the success he had as a player, we all know European Cups and everything, playing for your country in a World Cup is the ultimate. You could have thrown anything at me. I've said it to you before, Joe, any trophy, anything at me growing up, and you said to me, what would you want to do when you get old? Where would you want to be? And it's play for Ireland in a World Cup. That's it. That's the ultimate.
Win the Champions League.
Well, I'd rather play for Ireland in a World Cup.
With Preston.
No, I didn't support Preston as a boy, really. If you said to me one club, I would have wanted to play for Celtic.
With Celtic?
No, I would have wanted to
play... And the SPL?
Not play one game in a World Cup with Ireland.
And win the World Cup with Celtic?
Win the World Cup. You can't win the World Cup championship.
It's a lack of ambition on your part.
It is. Well, it might be a lack of ambition. I think when you turn...
No, a lack of ambition not to win it with Celtic, I mean. I'm messing.
Yeah, that was a question.
Celtic play at the World Cup?
Bastian Schweinsteiger got something he signed, didn't he, over in America. But my point being, of course it would have changed when you turn professional because it's the prestige of different things, isn't it? But that was it. That was the ultimate. That is the ultimate. So if you're getting that message from your manager who's been there, seen it, done everything in the game, and he's just dropping that into you before you go out onto the pitch. It's not respect to Michael O'Neill, but he couldn't say that to his players. Michael O'Neill couldn't give the players that. So for all the organisation and all the work that he's done with his side, brilliant, great stuff. But Martin O'Neill brings that little bit of X factor then, that he can actually say that to the players and the players can look him in the eye in the trust and what he's giving them.
Yeah. It's an admirable effort to try and explain it to me, but I mean, I don't buy that either. I mean, they don't need Martin O'Neill to tell them a World Cup's good to play in.
No, but the reality's there then, isn't it? When you're actually about to get onto the pitch, you're about to go out and play, and these lads have achieved brilliant things to, you know, I've mentioned before, turning pro, whatever it would be, winning trophies that they've won in the careers, whatever it would be. But then, what do you watch when you're a kid? It makes you think back, and it makes you draw on these memories that you've got when you're a kid, and you think, geez, that's exactly what I'd want. That's exactly what I would have wanted as a kid growing up. That's what I dreamt about doing. That's what I dreamt about being.
An area where we now are approaching the point of enough evidence to say where the O'Neill factor is paying dividends is in the big games.
Yeah,
you know, Georgia Way is a horror show, and I think that's the result of a lack of preparation. Personally, that's just my guess. I just don't know if we're on the same page in certain respects.
Yeah, we say that. I mean, I went away and played at Cyprus. Went away and played in Cyprus. We prepared. Stan was setting the team up all week. Kevin McDonald, the coach at the time, we were setting up. We had an organised plan, a game plan, whatever it would be. And you would have watched that game. You would have thought, what the hell's going on here? There's no organisation. There's no leadership. All that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
okay, I have to accept that then.
Yeah.
I bow down totally to that point then.
No, I'm not meaning that to be an arse, but that's...
No. It's good to get the insight. So that can happen. I accept that. So, you know, but maybe it's a bit more than just Georgia. But in the big games, the amazing stat from 2002 to 2015, our best win is against world number 33s.
Yeah.
Over 13 years, we beat the world number 33 team. That was as good as it got from a rankings point of view.
Yeah.
And so since September 2015, in competitive games, Ireland have beaten the sides ranked number 2, number 12, number 13 and number 20.
Yeah, these are competitive games, aren't they, all these as well? Yeah,
all competitive games.
Yeah.
And so, again, there's a kind of mystery and magic to that.
I know. And in the Germany game as well, it was a performance where, you know, we had to dig in and see spells through and, yeah, you know, all that sort of thing as well. But to pull off these sort of results, as you said, that sort of result, remember, you only need to think back to Lille, and Richie was talking about it before, that performance in Bordeaux against Belgium. Really poor, as bad as you'll see really when you're watching it, because there was nothing to take from it. And then 4 days later, or whatever it is, you're turning over the brilliance of Italy. Yes, you might throw at me, it might be the second string, whatever it would be, but these are still squad players in the Italian squad. To go from that to that, it's unbelievable. Now that is like some stroke of genius to do that, to get that response and to get that mindset and to get the team the way that they played that night as well. A lot of it's down to yourself, your individual. You're up for the game and you've got to play in a certain way. You're expected to have a response. You're going home, haven't you?
Yeah.
Or aren't you? Sorry, you're going home with nothing essentially. So that response had to come anyway. But to do that, you know, you can't underestimate what that actually what that entails to get that sort of response.
Dan Murphy is someone we haven't talked about at all on the show this evening. We've kind of gone through the whole team in many ways. Randolph and Duffy was amazing, and the midfield five of Myler and Arthur and Hendrick and Brady and McLean all put in huge shifts. So Daryl Murphy led the line up front. Dave caught up with him in the tunnel afterwards and put it to Murphy that his night was largely about doing some donkey work.
There was a huge level of discipline. There was a couple of times where you went over to fill in at left wing, or I think a left back even at one stage, because you'd spotted that, I think it might have been Stephen or perhaps James had got ahead of the ball and we'd been turned over. Was that something that was worked on in particular this week, or is it just something that players knew such a big occasion that everybody was clued in?
Listen, it's natural. We play for each other. There's no individuals in this team. We all fight for each other. If someone's out of position and you're there or close to it, you just naturally you slot in there. It's what you do for your teammates, and tonight I thought, even especially defence, goalkeeper, absolutely brilliant, heading everything clear, and when we were under the cosh, brilliant.
We tend to get the result that we need in terms of these kind of nights. Like, if a draw was enough tonight, I'd be pretty sure that we probably would have got a draw. It's when there's clarity of focus and the objective is just so clear that anything other than win or bust, it just seems to focus the minds of these players. It was very similar to what happened in Lille with the Italians.
Listen, I said this the other night after we won. I said that we come alive on the big occasions. We always have. You look at the past results we've had. As I said, Lille, we needed to win. We did. And we know we're up against it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about us. It's just our character and the want to win and just the hunger, I think.
And from your personal point of view, I mean, you've been amongst the goals for Forest already this season. You got your first international goal in Belgrade, and all of this at the young age of 34. Like, you've had to wait a long time for nights like this. It must just taste so sweet for you.
Yeah, it's even better, because I think over the years when I've been in the squad, we've had obviously Robbie Keane, our main goal scorer, best goal scorer of all time in the team. So you know you're not really going to get a chance. It's when you get on, or if you do get a bit of time on the pitch, you have to make the most of it. But I think recently I've had a few opportunities, and I just thought if the manager has the faith to start me in big games like this, like he has in the past, then I have to produce for him, and thankfully I have.
We didn't think you'd last as long as you did, to be honest.
But you know what? The longer the game went on, I actually felt better. It was the game the other night. I actually felt tired. Tonight, as I said, the longer the game went on, I actually felt really good.
It's just pure adrenaline.
I don't know, it's just fitness, isn't it? Look after yourself.
Well done.
Thank you. Cheers.
Nah, it's adrenaline.
I think he was Daryl Murphy against Moldova the night. I thought the team looked leggy. I thought they looked really tired after the initial 30 minutes. First 30 minutes went by, I thought they looked knackered, dead on the feet. Really tired, I thought. Last night we did see a different one. Daryl Murphy himself, he said he tired after 45, 50, 60 minutes himself the night when he was taken off. And last night, it's true, he was flying at the end. Flying around he was.
There's a good text in. There's just one flaw in Kilbane's argument. Roy Keane. Think how hard it is to tell the players playing in a World Cup is the be-all and end-all with Roy Keane standing beside you. That would be funny.
Yeah.
If O'Neill is saying that.
Yeah.
Playing in a World Cup is the ultimate. It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Although Roy has done it. To be fair.
Exactly, yeah.
That's true. 94, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, Texter. One back at you. So one last point then is Murphy's touched on it there, and it was just so evident. And again, in other games, you wonder why it's not there, is how clued in everyone was.
Yeah.
Like you could sense the concentration.
That's game know-how. See, they've asked the question, is that something you work on? But that's just game know-how. It's game know-how. Everyone knows that.
But it's like we're not as clued in other nights against lesser opposition. Against bigger teams, when we have a fear factor, we're so diligent about, are we pressing? Am I passing off a guy? Are we looking around, talking to each other?
Yeah.
A real kind of urgency about the way we're going about our play without the ball. And look, arguably on our lesser nights, we don't see that to the same extent. It's about the pressing, it's about the organisation. Yeah. And last night, even in that first 10, 20, 30 minutes, kind of felt okay because the team were so clearly clued in. You could see it, and I'm sure you could see it in the stadium.
Yeah, definitely. That was very evident throughout. Very evident. You can see even at the start of the game where Wales were nice patterns. It was moving the ball well, not really creating an awful lot, has to be said. And I think overall, you're going to have spells in games like that anyway.
Wish we had some nice patterns.
Yeah, but is that what you want?
I just want a few nice patterns.
I don't know. I don't know. I think sometimes, I don't know, we have different ideologies. I think that's what we'd say, Joe.
For wanting the football.
No, you do. All right. Well, I want to see good football, but I want to be entertained. I want to be entertained, and I want to watch good attacking football. I want to see teams get into fight. What I used to like, obviously, growing up, I was a bloody left winger that just wanted. I wanted to try and get the ball and run at players. That's all I wanted to do, and try to crosses, try and get shots away, whatever it would be. That's what I wanted to. I want to see teams that powerfully off the ball, running off the ball. That's what I want to see. And I think when a team's at it like that, you might not necessarily have the ball all the time. I don't want to see a team just continuously passing it around the pitch. I don't like it. I find it boring. I do sometimes. I watch Arsenal and things like that. The lovely little patterns that you talk about and things like this, I find it boring. I don't enjoy watching it. I don't. I'd rather go and watch a League of Ireland game, or I'd rather go and watch a League One game or a League Two game over in England, where you're going to get a little bit of physicality and you're going to get teams right up against each other. That's the way I am. I can't get away from that fact. So sometimes when you talk about you want to see patterns and you want to see a side doing that. Yes, but it's got to be with a purpose. I just don't want to see a side. Well,
I thought Wales did it with a bit of purpose in the first half.
There was a bit of, but what, how many chances did they create?
Not many.
Well, there you go.
Not saying they did it perfectly.
Yeah.
I'd like us to get there, mix it up a bit.
Well, exactly. But I think at times we did. I think the last 15 minutes of the first half, last 10 minutes, they were starting to get a little bit where we were keeping the ball a little bit better. And I think there's always that real. I think we always want to find something at times that just isn't there. We all want to find that little bit of how are we going to, we're not seeing. So you're saying there we're not seeing any sort of patterns, and you want to see patterns in the pitch. But what is it all right then just to continuously just move the ball from side to side, and you're not having any forward running, you're not having anyone that's sprinting off the ball that's prepared to go and hurt go long at times. No, I want to see a side
We don't do enough of that either. Like, where's our movement off the ball? Where are our great runs? We don't have much of that going on. I mean, look, last night, I'm not talking specifically about last night because it was so pressurised and it was all about the result. Like, when Kieran Clark sliced a clearance clear under no pressure and put it out over the sideline, I was like, good man, just get rid of it.
Yeah, it was that kind of a night. You get it, yeah.
Yeah. But generally, we could do with a bit more of that. Like, Macedonia have scored more goals in this campaign than us. How we go better business is, on good nights like last night, defend pretty well. Press, put the other team under pressure. And then I think the general acceptance is how we score goals is kind of randomness, chance. And we just figure a chance or two will come along one way or another and we'll hopefully take it. That's kind of our methodology.
Do you think that?
A little bit, yeah.
I don't know. I think we've got too good of players within the squad that it's actually just by chance. There's good footballers there. James McLean, good player. Harry Arter, the good players.
No.
Robbie Brady, players. Players who.
What I mean by that is, there's not like we don't have a distinctive way of breaking sides down. Like, if you look at our goals, they just kind of
in your head, what you're thinking about there, then you're thinking about a Barcelona or something. But what I'm meaning is by that, you're meaning where you're looking at them and you're seeing a certain style of goal that they're actually going to score. There's probably three or four sides in the world that would ever do that.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you want then? What is it you want then?
I want us to have better movement, to keep the ball a bit better.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we have more in common.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. The opposites here, opposite end of the spectrum here. But I don't know, I just think sometimes that, I don't know, the real, I don't buy into this that's been said in the past, oh, the media create the negativity and all this sort of thing. There's always got to be, there's a lot of space to fill, and there's a lot of people that have their own opinion on football and how it should be played. That's why I totally respect what you're saying there, and I'd be with you on various aspects of what you're going to say. But I think at times, I don't necessarily just want to see a team playing with nice patterns and, you know, looking pretty on a pitch, because that's what Wales did last night. They had a good plan how they were going about things. But I was thinking, well, all right, didn't really create an awful lot. It was fine. You're going to have these spells playing in that stadium last night. The atmosphere and everything that was charged. It was, you know, everything about it was a big game environment. But comfortable enough. I mean, Darren Randolph, we talked about that save that he made in the second half from Arops and Kanu. What else did he have to do shot-wise, save-wise, real chances-wise? They didn't give anything away, the team, last night. And there's different aspects to a game of football. Of course, defending, you'll see Shane Duffy, who was incredible last night, how he went about things. The way that we carved open the goal, the way, the movement, you said, Jeff Hendrick, great to start with the movement of Harry Arton, then the finish of James McLean. It was just class. It was good to watch. Look, agreed, at the goal that we scored against Moldova last week. Brilliant movement off the ball from Callum O'Dowd. A lovely diagonal ball from Wes Hoolahan. Great movement off the ball, as you say, looking for movement off the ball by Stephen Ward getting forward. Great cross into the penalty area and a great finish. Mm-hmm. Everything about that goal said good. Class.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
Just don't see enough of it.
Right. Okay, well, let's see what happens in the playoff then.
We'll take a break. So the latest is Portugal are 2-0 up in Switzerland. I'll get your take on Switzerland actually in a second, seeing as they're now very much in the mix over the next few weeks. And Stephen Ward was on the line to us earlier on the phone, so we'll talk to Stephen Ward as well.
Off the ball on News Talk,
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Mairead Fitz has tweeted in to say she hates it when mommy and daddy fight, Kev. It's me and you. Look, I'm just a purist trying to fight for the beautiful game in this country. And it's not easy.
You are a purist, Joe.
I've had to put up with the chemical bands all my life telling me to kick it long, son.
Yeah.
None of that fancy stuff they've said to me all my life.
Yeah.
And I won't stand for it anymore.
I don't think I'd have been a kick it long sort
get
of guy.
Get rid of it.
I would have been. Get the ball to my feet fancy and let's see what can happen, yeah.
Where do you think you are? None of that stuff. Get rid.
Yeah.
Well, That's you.
There you go. Well.
Pretty patterns.
There you go. Oh. Yeah.
I get the 11 biggest lads in the team. We'll get out there and we'll smash them.
Well. Yeah.
Hey, look, we agree on a lot of things. I just think we're a little bit, you know, like we could do a bit more.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm with you in that to an extent, but I don't want to just go and throw things out loosely and saying, you know, that you want to play certain ways and play thinking without
Jurgen Klopp. That's who I think should manage Ireland. That's the kind of style I'm about.
Oh yeah, and then
high pressing, high energy.
Yeah, then you'd be moaning about how bad we are defensively, then, won't you?
Sure, we'll be just as good.
Yeah,
just do what they're doing now. Don't worry. I don't think it's like they're working on corners for 25 minutes a day. Anyway, okay. So earlier on, before you made it in.
Sorry, that's the end of that game. Sorry there, John. Portugal have qualified for the World Cup. Switzerland now in that playoff, as we were saying about earlier on. So we have Switzerland. Well, Switzerland will be potentially one of our opponents.
Okay, I'll get your thoughts on them in a minute. So just before you didn't make it in, so Stephen Ward was on 6:30 or so. I spoke to Stephen.
Ah, you're such an arse, honest to God.
No, it was Stephen Ward earlier on in the day. So how do you put last night's game into words, Stephen?
Yeah, it was. It's difficult, really, I suppose. You know, reflecting on it this morning, it's you know, I think it's a great achievement from, you know, the lads, the staff, everyone involved. I think after the two games last month, we were very disappointed, and we knew we had a, you know, a bit of a mountain to climb. You know, going to Wales it was never going to be easy. So you know, immense pride in what we've done, and as I say, you know, we look forward to the playoffs now.
Last night, do you boys all scatter to your various clubs, or do you have a night out together at the hotel?
No, a few of the lads flew back to Dublin, but most of the lads headed off back to their clubs. Obviously, it's quite a quick turnaround nowadays with you know, games and recovery for Saturday. So most lads headed back, but a few of the lads, you know, sort of the single lads and the lads who don't have families to come back to headed back off home on the flight to Dublin.
So you were home to back to the Burnley area, I presume?
Well, yeah, back to Burnley to see the kids, my wife and son. were at the game last night, so I travelled back with them straight after the game. So, it was a much better trip home after the result, and you know, it's just feet up today, and then got back in to get ready for the game at the weekend.
What a weird thing to go from the noise and the colour and the adrenaline and just the sheer heaven of the McLean goal and the dressing room afterwards to everybody scattering and you're on your own with your family and it's quiet and it's dark and kind of a weird one. I don't know, like, does part of you want to go out on a night like that and go nuts, or are you quite happy to get out of there?
I think obviously because the job's not fully done. I think, you know, if news had filtered through that Georgia had picked up a result, I think you wouldn't have seen us for a couple of days. So, you know, we still, with the staff and the type of group we are, we know there's still a lot of work to do. We enjoyed the moment in the changing room, and you know, once everyone left, it was concentrate on your club for a few weeks, and you know, there's still work to be done next month.
Bring us through your day yesterday. Was it a very long build up? Did it feel like the day dragged all the way through until kickoff?
It did a bit. I think since, you know, from getting back to the hotel after the Moldova game, you know, minds quickly switched to the Wales game and gone to Cardiff. And as I say, there's not a quick turnaround, but, you know, the day leading up to the game always seems long. You're always waiting around. And, you know, a lot of stuff going through your head, what might happen, what you need to do, your own job, you know, who's going to play, what the team's going to be, so forth. So it's very difficult to switch off sometimes. And you just really want to get there and get out on that pitch. And once the warm-up starts and you arrive at the stadium, you know, you switch on quite quick and you're raring to go.
Yeah, I can imagine. So we know, like, Martin O'Neill has options and you know, Robbie Brady's there and you're there and both can play left back. When do you get the nod? When do you get told, OK, I'm in, thank God I'm in?
Well, the manager, you know, he keeps everyone on his toes. I think, you know, I think the strength of the squad at the minute is brilliant. We've got a lot of, obviously, young lads coming through who are fighting for places, a bit of experience. And as you said, lads that can play in various positions. So he keeps everyone on their toes. I think he keeps people sharp and training. And he doesn't usually let us know till, you know, close enough to kick off. And sometimes that can be a good thing because everyone's sharp, everyone's focused. And,
yeah.
You know, if your name's read out and you're in that team, you know, you're prepared either way.
What do you do during the day when you're hanging around? Are you in other lads' room having a cup of tea? Are you on the PlayStation? Are you having a nap? What works for you at this stage in your career?
A bit of both. Most of the time you try to get your head down for an hour or so and then just relax, feet up, doing you know what you need to do, getting treatment, massage, whatever you need. But, you know, yesterday was a strange one. I think being such a big game, you know, a lot of things were running through people's minds. It seemed like a lot of lads were up throughout the day just chatting away, you know, getting their heads ready for the game and really preparing for what we knew was going to be a massive battle. I found it difficult yesterday to switch off knowing that it was sort of, you know, last chance to learn, do or die. And I just really wanted to get to the ground and sort of, you know, get away from the phone, get away from everything and switch off and just have your concentration on them. So a couple of hours that you're preparing and playing in the game.
Yeah. I mean, it was always going to be a special night, a highly charged night. If we were in any doubt, which I know we weren't and you guys weren't, I mean, the Welsh national anthem was kind of this amazing spine-tingling moment. And they start really fast. I mean, first 15 minutes, they have 86% possession. Give us your memory of that opening 15, 20 minutes. It seems like you stayed relatively calm, you sat in, and the team also pressed was the other thing. It wasn't like Wales had easy possession for all of that first 15, 20 minutes either.
Yeah, I think, listen, that's the key to the preparation and, you know, the experience we have in the backroom staff and the management. You know, it played out exactly as the manager said.
Right.
You know, before the game, he said to us, listen, they're going to be up for it. We had heard, obviously, the rumours about the anthem. They were going to stop the music to get the atmosphere going. And listen, when you're the home team, that's going to give you a lift. And we expected them to come out of the blocks. I think the onus is always on home teams in these games to come out and try to take the game to the opposition. So it was no surprise, really. The manager had said to us before, don't be surprised if they have possession. It was more about ourselves being in our shape, as you said, closing them down and making sure with that possession they couldn't really create, you know, clear-cut opportunities to give them a real foothold in the game, which thankfully they didn't. They had, you know, one or two half chances from outside the box, but nothing really where we thought, you know, they should have scored or they could have gone 1-0 up there. So that was a credit to us, and obviously the calmness came from the manager at the start. He sort of predicted that would happen, and thankfully, you know, we sort of knew we'd have to weather the storm for the first 15 to 20 minutes, which I felt we did, and then grew into the game gradually, which, as an away team, you know, can be a big plus because it can quieten down the crowd a little bit, which we felt we did, you know, midway through that first half.
Yeah, I guess preempting the fact that they're going to have possession negates any sense of panic or any sense of you guys looking around at each other saying, oh, geez, we're not in this game at all. The depressing aspect of the performance was really notable in comparison with certain other games. And you looked at the five men across the midfield in their whatever shape they ended up playing in at different times. All of those lads have a lot of energy, a lot of legs, and it was really noticeable that one went in, everybody went in. Had that been a big focus in the preparation, that we're not just going to sit in our shape, we're actually going to try and go out and meet the ball? Had that been discussed at length, or did the night just take on that shape?
We watched clips and you know, various aspects of Wales' game throughout the few days leading up to the game. And
right.
We know how they play. They've got a very good philosophy. It's worked really well for them. They're very good keeper of the ball. They've got players that are comfortable dropping into certain areas. You know, obviously Ramsey and, Joe Allen, Andy King, they like to come into them pockets. So we knew the important thing for us as a team was to keep our shape. And when we do press, we don't let people press on their own, because if you do that, you can get played around and they can get into much, you know, more dangerous areas of the pitch. So, it was part of the game plan. But I suppose, in a sense as well, we also felt we could have got hold of the ball a little bit better in the early stages ourselves and maybe calmed that. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't always go exactly how you plan it. But I think most importantly, we did keep our shape. We kept their chances to a minimum. And then, you know, once that happens and the game dies down a bit, we grew into it ourselves. And I thought we probably finished the half a lot stronger than we started. And at half-time, we knew we were right in the game, and we felt like, you know, even at that stage, you know, we looked as if they were hopefully running out of ideas.
When Joe Allen goes off and Ramsey goes a bit deeper, are you pretty relieved to see that? And he's not in those pockets between the lines. He's a bit more in front of everybody. Was you kind of relieved to see Ramsey go back out further in the field when Allen went off?
To be honest, I didn't really think of it. You know, they had a very good player coming on, Johnny Williams, who I've seen a lot of over the years, played against, and he can unlock a defence. So, you know, there's going to be quality coming off the bench, and it probably, you know, gave Ramsey a little bit more licence to get on the ball a little bit more than he would have maybe in the 10 if we could have closed the space. So, you know, you have to adapt to these things, and obviously maybe you could say it did work to our advantage, but, you know, we still had to deal with a Johnny Williams coming on who likes to attack players and get at players, and then that causes you a different problem. So I thought we adapted well, and you know, throughout the game, I thought as an 11, we defended stoutly, and you know, in the end, we came up trumps with hitting them on the break with a great goal.
Yeah, an amazing goal. Every part of it from Hendrick. Again, we talked about the energy and the pressing. Hendrick to win that ball there said much about the attitude, and then you know the kind of awareness from Harry Arter and the finish. I mean, you're a lefty. Would you try to kick it that hard with your right foot?
Yeah, I would have done exactly what James did, and I think he said in his interview, you just, as it's coming to you, you just think, keep it down, just don't lean back or put it over the bar. You just want to get a good connection, and you know, as I say, thankfully he did, and it went into the bottom corner, and obviously, listen, the game's going to change then. They then become desperate because they know they need to get back in the game, and we obviously have something to hold on to. The game might have played out differently at nil all. You know, might have taken a Wes or a McGeady to come on and unlock a defence. But at that time, it was about us holding on to the lead and holding on to what we had. And, you know, your discipline, your shape becomes even more vital. And I thought, you know, throughout that last half an hour, which probably seemed like about 4 hours for us on that pitch, you know, we'd done it very well. And, you know, when you got someone, even the likes of Duffy, a man mounting up and head everything, and, you know, head balls that you'd never head yourself in a million years. They're so high. It's brilliant to have that leadership and someone like that can, you know, even if they go wide and put it in the box, you know, 9 times out of 10, he's going to get his head on it and clear it for you.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing. God bless him. I'd say you just looked at him several times and just said, thank God you're so tall and you're winning all these. He was like kind of channeling Paul McGrath, Giant Stadium kind of performance for him. And everybody, it was a bit like a pinball machine at times that last 20 minutes. I remember, I think it was Clark at one stage just absolutely, I think you would have been outside him. He just swiped it and kind of slices it out wide, and it's over the sideline. And that was kind of acceptable in a weird way under the circumstances. It was that kind of last 20 minutes. Martin O'Neill said it felt like it lasted forever.
Yeah, it did. And I think when you've got something you know, to hold on to and something so valuable. And, you know, if you can hold on to it and keep a clean sheet, and you know you're going to make it to the playoffs. I don't think it really matters, you know, row A, row Z. As long as you defend that goal and defend for that place, then, you know, the style, the football, it goes out the window. You've got to do the dirty work, and I think we proved that we can do that and handle that as well last night.
Yeah. So, like, there's an interesting thing about this team now. It's really interesting since O'Neill has come in. So, if you go from 2002 when Ireland beat Holland, I'm sure, Dave, you remember very well, and 2001, the qualification for 2002. So, if you go from 2002 up to 2015, the highest ranking team we beat was world number 33 across those 13 years. If you go over the last 2 years, Ireland have beaten teams ranked 2nd, 12th, 13th, and 20th. In competitive games in the space of 2 years, after going 13 years where they only beat world number 33. So, like, there are performances like Georgia away where we're all pulling our hair out, frankly. And then, like, under some serious pressure against some big teams, this team has something special about them.
Listen, the Georgia game was obviously disappointing. You know, we felt, especially our first half performance wasn't right, you know, obviously. It's not an easy place to go. You look at Wales the other night, they went and they won 1-0, but, you know, the game could have gone either way. You know, there's no real, I know it's an old cliche, but there is no real easy games anymore. You know, logistically, Georgia, you know, is a fifth seed. It's probably one of the toughest fifth seeds you could get in terms of, you know, it's a long flight. It's quite humid out there. It's a tough place to go, but saying that, of course, we were disappointed. We were very disappointed, but, you know, looking back at it, in the days after, we felt we should have won the game with the chances we did create in the last 15, 20 minutes when we probably finished a stronger side. So it's one of them things. I think it's been a trait of many Irish teams when they're up against it and no one gives them a chance. We want to prove people wrong, and once again, we did it last night. But we know, you know, coming into these playoffs, it's going to be a similar situation. We'll be written off no matter who we get. We're going to have a top seed side. Who are going to be a lot higher ranked in the world than us, and it's going to be back against the walls for periods of them games, and we'll have to deal with that pressure, and hopefully, as I say, we can put on performances that we have done in the recent years.
Yeah, the draws next week, at this stage, it's either Italy, Croatia, Denmark, and then it'll be either Portugal or Switzerland. So this is the part of the interview where I ask you which team you'd prefer, and then you say, well, we'll back ourselves against whoever, and I wouldn't like to pick out a team.
Listen, of course, there's going to be, you know, teams you give yourself a better chance against. But I think the most important thing is that we are in the hat, we're in the draw. You know, you might need a bit of luck in that draw. I think a lot of Irish fans will be cheering on Portugal tonight because, you know, obviously with the threat of Ronaldo, it's obviously it would be a big ask. But, you know, we do, and genuinely, as silly as it sounds, and you probably know, as I said there, you knew exactly what I'm going to say. We do have belief in our squad and belief that we can do it. We had it in Lille when we played Italy. You know, we had it against Germany at home. We had it last night against Wales. When people do write you off, I think, you know, within that squad, within the spirit, within the camp, the belief of the manager, the experience they have, you know, Roy Keane's obviously there, has been there, done it all. You know, they make you go out and believe that you can go and get a result against these teams. And, you know, you just look at, you know, teams like Iceland, for example, who've gone on to win their group, it's possible these days. You know, the draw will be what it is, and you know, I think we'll give our best against any team over two legs, and hopefully we can come out on top. But I think for the moment, we need to enjoy last night. I think it's a great achievement to make the playoffs. It was, you know, if you look at the groups, it's probably arguably the most competitive group in the whole European, you know, system where you knew, you know, four teams were going to be similar and take points off each other, and obviously Georgia being the fifth seed, another tough one. So I think to get through the group as a fourth, you know, sort of pop four team is a big achievement, and it just gives us the taste of one more and want to go to that World Cup.
Yeah, well, listen, it was amazing. I saw the viewing figures. There was well over 1 million people watching last night. The whole country was in agony watching as well with you. Who have you got at the weekend?
We've got West Ham at home, and we go to Man City the following week. So,
right,
a couple of big games coming up, and you know, hopefully, as I say, everyone goes back to their club as well and stays injury free, because we'll need everyone next month.
Absolutely. Listen, thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it. Probably got a few things going on, so we appreciate that. Well done last night. I mean, it's phenomenal. Everybody delighted for you guys. So thanks very much, Stephen.
Cheers, no problem. Take care.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
I should say congratulations to Hugh O'Donnell. You're our Facebook winner tonight. We'll see you at Cork Opera House tomorrow. Good man, Hugh. We're on air from 7. Paul O'Connell, Keith Wood, Mick Galway. It's on the radio. You'll get to hear it. Very exciting. So one of the highlights should be when Paul O'Connell and Mick Galway go head to head in a box kicking contest. So there we go. Paul O'Connell, Mick Galway, box kicking contest.
I should have left that one out. I shouldn't have said that because Paul O'Connell might not turn up now tomorrow.
Paul O'Connell will be up for the next 15 hours practicing.
Yeah.
Somebody on the Irish football philosophy is saying to me, I think what you're trying to say about my point about it's been a bit random and how we create goals, and I think it's a fair text. I think what you're trying to say is we are opportunists. We harry the opposition, force them to concede the ball or make errors, then we get the opportunity. But because the opportunity will be random, our goals themselves are random. We sort of make it up when we get the chance and have gotten quite good at scoring these chances. It's like improvisation football and we're bloody good at it, says Rory. There's a certain amount of truth in that, yeah. I mean, we can do what we did against Moldova, against lesser opposition, the Callum O'Dowd run the ball out wide. We can do some of that as well. That's preferable. That's good.
Yeah.
But
I understand the level of opposition as well. That's one that we'll be always thrown back at you. Moldova are not a good side, but it's still a brilliantly worked goal, isn't it?
Players a bit more relaxed in that environment is a key thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of tension there last night.
Yeah,
is understandable.
Yeah, which I think is a good thing as well, isn't it? I mean, the tension, the game last night, because it was so tight, because it was so edgy. I don't know, it makes them all the more compelling, doesn't it? And they're the better games to commentate on.
Oh, certainly.
A great man once said to me, I don't care if it's shite as long as it's tight. So there you go.
Right, okay, I'm not saying anything back to that. Okay, we're done. Tom Dunn is on the way. And thanks for all your texts this evening. We're at the Cork Opera House tomorrow, followed by a football show special with Kevin Kilbane here back at base, where he may or may not have John Hartson on. So we'll see you tomorrow. Good luck.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.